get lost in you. So anyone who finds me first finds you. I wanna be one with you. Where I end, you begin and keep on going. I wanna breathe you in. So every time I breathe out, you're
Hi, I'm Mike Spaulding. Welcome to the Transforming Word radio program. I consider it a great privilege to teach God's Word to you each day. Today we will be studying in the book of 1 Timothy, where we will find many of the great doctrines of church, life, and practice spelled out. Open your Bibles and join me now for another study in the Word. My prayer is that God will transform your heart as you consider all that He speaks to you today.
That's just a hallelujah moment. This command, verse 18, I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you. Now, you can read about that in chapter 4, and we'll get there in a week or so. But there are prophecies made about Timothy, about how the Lord would use him, and they were made by the laying on of hands. Previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. So by these prophecies that were made about you, remember and treasure that you've been called and gifted. All of you, brothers and sisters, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, He called you by name. Well, we sang about that, didn't we? He called you into a personal relationship with Him by name. Keeping faith, verse 19, and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Now, he's talking about the false teachers again. And really the point that he's making here is that when you reject the leading of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, you're going to have a train wreck. Or he uses shipwreck here, but you're headed for disaster. The Holy Spirit is leading you in a certain direction and you're going the opposite direction. Only bad things are going to happen. Here's a news flash. Your plan is not better than God's plan. Now, I know we think sometimes, but Lord, can I tweak that a little bit? Because I think if we just do this right here, stop. I think that's part of the human condition, though, isn't it? We're always, you know, we're trying to be the Tim Allen, you know, we're going to super improve it. No, just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Understand and obey God's word. Now, Paul had some folks in mind when he made this statement that if you disregard faith, the leading of the Holy Spirit, which produces a good conscience in verse 19, that's going to shipwreck your faith. He had a couple guys in mind, and he names them here in verse 20. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander. Now, so much for all those folks that says, well, you really shouldn't name names. Why not? Paul did it all the time. In fact, it'd be, and I've used this illustration before, not naming names when you know somebody is a false teacher, a heretic, or a blasphemer, and yet they're masquerading as a sheep, for you not to say anything about that, I believe is a sin on your behalf. It'd be like me putting up here several glasses of water and putting in various amounts of cyanide. And here's 4 drops and 3 drops and 2 and 1. And just inviting you to have a drink. Well, it won't hurt you because this glass right here has only got 1 drop of cyanide, so, you know. Now, the 2 may kill you, I'm not sure, but... And we're not going to tell you that the water's poisoned? Doesn't make sense to me. And in fact, it flies in the face of Scripture. Notice what Paul says here. He says, whom I have handed over to Satan. What does that mean? Well, he's handed them over to Satan so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. So they're false teachers, and what they're teaching is actually blasphemy, and Paul says that they were booted out of the church. He's talking about them being excommunicated here. He's talking about this within the context of church discipline. He talked about this to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4, I think. He talked about this, Jesus talked about in Matthew 18, what is the end result of somebody who will not listen? You boot them out of the church. He's talking about excommunicated. And so in this sense, when you're excommunicated or disfellowshipped or booted out of the church or whatever, however you want to call it, you're what? You're in the domain of the enemy. And so Paul is saying, I've handed them over so that they'll be taught not to blaspheme. So Paul says there is a goal in mind, and that is that they'll learn the error of their ways. They'll be taught not to blaspheme. First of all, then, chapter 2, you didn't think we were going to get there, did you? First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Now, entreaties has to do with earnestness, praying earnestly. An example would be Luke chapter 18, where the woman kept coming before the judge. And the judge says, you know what, I'm going to grant your petition just so you'll get out of my hair. Prayers is more of a general word that covers all forms of communication with the Lord. Petitions, requests, confident requests, knowing that the Lord's going to. Can you actually pray for something knowing that the Lord is going to answer that prayer? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And I'm not talking about, well, good, I'm going to pray for a red Mercedes Benz to show up in my driveway later today. That's not what I'm talking about. You can pray confidently, petition the Lord with your requests when your will lines up with His will. When you're praying the will of the Father and you know what the Father's will is in a situation, you can pray that. Thanksgivings. That's gratitude. Notice that it says, pray this way, entreaties, prayers, petitions, thanksgivings be made on the behalf of your brethren only. All men. All men. We pray for everyone, brothers and sisters. Who does everyone include? Everyone. How about that jerk at work that just drives you crazy to see him breathing air? Oh, you got to prove to me it says that in here. Well, it does. All. All men. For kings and all who are in authority. Yes. Pray for our congressmen. Our state-level representatives, our national-level representatives, our president, pray for these people. Now listen, you're going to pray for all people differently, though. And I'm not talking about how I'm praying a bolt of lightning will come out of the sky. That's not what I mean. No, no. Well, what I'm saying is, for some folks, you'll pray in thanksgiving for them. And other folks, you're going to pray a petition prayer. Or you're going to pray earnestly that they'll be saved. I pray for the leaders, our national leaders all the time, that God will cause them to be born again. And we got some national leaders that claim to be Christians, and I can tell you something, they're not. Well, really, how can you know that? You shall know them by their fruits. The blasphemous things that come out of their mouths, the blasphemous laws that they support and ram down our throats, and then they want to smile and say, but I'm one of you. No, you're not. But I'm praying for you that God will change your heart. See, people aren't our enemies. Politics attempts to make people our enemies. See, that's the subtle diversion. Politics tries to turn people against each other, and it works very efficiently. But we need to see past that and to understand that those people just need to be born again. Now, does that mean that we should back off of expressing our viewpoint? Absolutely not. And you know I don't. I express my viewpoint to our politicians all the time. They probably know me on a first-name basis. Oh, here's another letter or email from this knucklehead. Pray for people. Why? For kings and for all who in authority. Notice, so that. So he tells us to do this thing, and then he tells us why we are to do it. That's what so that means. So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. So what Paul is saying here, brothers and sisters, by saying, pray for these people, kings and all who are in authority, tranquil, quiet, godly, dignity, is that prayer results not only in an outward peace, that's the tranquility, but in a reverence of character, that's the quietness and the dignity. It results in godliness. You see, prayer changes your perspective. See, sometimes we only think prayer is about, yeah, I'm praying for that person, and it's all about them. No, not really. Prayer is just as much, maybe more, about you. See, God wants you to experience tranquility. He wants you to have peace. You're not going to have peace if you're praying wrong. You're just going to continue on in your frustration. He wants us to experience this peace, tranquility, quiet life, and all godliness and dignity. So prayer, you could say, conditions us to trust God. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires some people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Does it say that? All people. God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, our Calvinist brothers and sisters, when they read that and it says that God desires all men to be saved, all men for a Calvinist means all the elect. They desire the elect to be saved. Well, God doesn't need to desire the elect to be saved. The elect are saved by decree. People are saved. All those that God chooses are saved, right? If He chooses you for salvation, you're going to be saved. So that's not what Paul's talking about here. It is God's heart's desire that all men be saved. God does not, the Scripture says, He does not take delight in one person perishing, but desires all men everywhere to be saved. So it isn't just the elect that he's talking about here. So he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, what is that? Well, truth is a person, right? Truth is Jesus Christ. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Now, he's talking about here one God, the divine essence. The divine essence of the Godhood is one, yet with three distinct persons. And the Scriptures are too numerous to deny that, although that's becoming increasingly popular today, to deny the Trinity. And by the way, brothers and sisters, when folks deny the Trinity, that makes them a blasphemer. Do you understand the seriousness of that? Someone who denies the Trinity is a blasphemer because they are assaulting the character of God. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. You get that? Now again, our Calvinist friends would say all means the elect. And that is one of the proof texts that are used for the doctrine of limited atonement. If you know your TULIP acronym, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints, that's Calvinism in a nutshell. They use this verse to appeal to the doctrine of limited atonement, which says that Christ died for the elect. And the thinking is, within Calvinistic circles, is that Christ did not die for anybody that's not the elect, because that would have been wasted. And it's like, no, now back up, hang on. Christ's blood was spilt as a ransom for all. No one comes under the blood until they make a profession of faith. Nobody's forgiven of anything until the profession of faith occurs, repentance and confession. So he gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. So this is the doctrine of the vicarious substitutionary blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Vicarious being he in our place. The substitutionary atonement. And even that's under attack today. For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle. For what? For this gospel message. Paul says this is the reason that I was appointed as an apostle. I am telling the truth. I'm not lying. You know, I wonder about that phrase every time I come across that. Were people calling him a liar? It almost is the equivalent of when we were in a conversation today, and I catch myself, and when I do it, I just shake my head. But I say, and you have too, because I've heard you say it. Well, to be perfectly honest, let me, and it's like, you weren't before? Everything up to this point was not? Or what? That's kind of the feel that I have for this. Paul said, listen, let me just be frank. I'm Paul, but let me be frank with you for a second. I'm not lying. As a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth, therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. So now, when he talks about lifting up holy hands, this was the Jewish practice in prayer. It's normally what they did. They lifted up holy hands. So he's not necessarily talking about doing that, but he's trying to make the contrast here between that attitude in prayer and wrath and dissension. So what he's saying here, brothers and sisters, is that your attitude in prayer, the words of your heart, those things that you're speaking to God should be matched by your attitude and your actions. So don't be praying with all of these flowery words and sounding wonderful and holy and godly, and yet your life is characterized by wrath and dissension. Because that was what was going on with the false teachers. They were causing division and dissension in the church, and people were rah at each other. And Paul's saying, and yet they're praying and doing all these wonderful looking things. And so Paul's saying, don't be like them. Likewise, verse 9, oh, guess what? We're out of time. Likewise, I want women. We're going to have to get there next week. I guess you'll just have to come back next week. I wasn't that beautifully, though? Just drug it out enough to... No, seriously. Let me be honest. You don't want to rush through that. You really don't. It just goes to verse 15. That's the end of the chapter. But you don't want to rush through that, because there's a lot that needs to be unpacked there. And again, there's a lot of misunderstanding and misconception about what these verses actually talk about. If you want to do some homework this week, look them up yourself. If you can find some stuff, I was talking to Mark this morning about an author, theologian that I really appreciate on the Greek side of things, Spyros Zodiotis, if you have any of his work, books, I think some of his stuff's online even. You can go look, Google this passage and go look and see what he has to say. Good stuff. MacArthur's good, although I don't agree with everything MacArthur says on this package. And in fact, there's a lot of stuff I just know, John. I love you, brother, but you're wrong on this. And you're thinking, well, who are you to say that? Well, hey, I'm a child of God just like he is. What makes him so special? I can't disagree with John MacArthur. I'm going to be here next week and you'll hear it. Anyway. No, he'd run circles around me. I'm just saying, on this passage, John. Be encouraged this week, brothers and sisters. God is for you. Never forget that. Because the enemy wants you to forget that. The enemy wants you to think, he's left you. He's done with you. This is the 14th time you've done that. He's not going to forgive you. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He's the God of second, 14th, 88th chances. How many times, Lord, should I forgive somebody? Seven? Oh, no, Jesus said. Now, if Jesus instructs us to forgive 70 times seven, how many times do you think he forgives? Yeah. More than we deserve. That's right, brother. So be encouraged this week. Pray for one another. We have a wonderful prayer ministry. Prayer requests going out all the time. If you're not on that, then sign up for it. Give me your email. Give Judy your email. Sitting right there in the green shirt, she'd be happy to put you on the prayer list so that you receive prayer updates and what's going on in the fellowship. If you want to be on our church email list where you get the news of events and meetings and things like that, then give me your email address and I'll make sure that you're on there and we can take care of that. We'll come back together now. Oh, guess what? I'm not teaching next week. 2 weeks. Dr. Erdman will be here next week. But it's going to be good. Dominionism in the church. You won't want to miss that. That's going to be very, very good teaching. But we'll get back to 1 Timothy then on Baptism Sunday. Is that Baptism Sunday? Oh, it's Easter. I'm preaching on women in the church on Easter Sunday. I ain't looking to be resurrected myself, not yet. So don't beat me up, I'm just the messenger. Yikes. Well, hey, the Lord knew even before time began. Right? All right, well, enough silliness. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your goodness and mercy toward us. We love you, Lord. We're thankful for the salvation that is ours and for the assurance of your presence in our lives. Lord, we pray that you continue to lead us in the direction to have us to go, Lord, to minister here in the Lima area, the surrounding communities, Lord. We thank you for the passion that you've given us for understanding you and for understanding your word. So, Father, by and through the Holy Spirit, would you continue to teach us and equip us and help us to be faithful servants, Lord. Go with us now as we leave this place and as we have opportunity, Lord, to share your love. Give us the words to speak. Thank you, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to get lost in you, so anyone who finds me first finds you.
That's all we have time for today on the Transforming Word radio program. I hope today's study encouraged you to study the Bible for yourself. Remember, friends, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The Transforming Word radio program is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima. You may join all of our services live through our internet broadcast at www.cclohio.org. Click Watch Us Live and be a part of our internet family. For more information about the Transforming Word radio ministry, write us at the Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. When you write, please mention the call letters of this station. You may also contact me directly by email at the following address, PastorMike@cclohio.org. Join us again tomorrow for another great study in the Bible. God bless you today as you seek Him.